I want to start something new this morning that I want to share with you, and looking forward to it very much. So I said back a month or so ago that I feel like we were in a time of transition. And I say that because that's a way overused word in the church. You know, everybody's always in transition. It's just talking about change, you know, talking about things changing and such. And certainly, to some degree, this physical space that we're in, this new sanctuary, is kind of a visible expression of that, but it goes much deeper. It's not just about being in a new building. I trust you understand that. But I think also that God sometimes uses visible things as a way to represent what he's doing in the Spirit. And so I think it's kind of cool that this is all coming together at this time. His desire... it's been a couple weeks since I've been here. Tim preached, and then, of course, oh, wasn't that wonderful having Wendy here with us last week from Canada? That was just a tremendous, encouraging and challenging thing. But a couple weeks, you know, the last time I shared, I actually preached a message called Bearing Fruit. God's desire for us is that we would bear more fruit for his kingdom, for his glory, for his purposes. The gospel message never changes. But sometimes we need to do things better. We need to do things differently. And again, the gospel never changes, but I think God is showing us some things and showing me some things. I've been talking, but praying with the elders and such. So the title this morning, these three words, loving, growing, and reaching. And when I'm done, and I'm not sure how long I'll do this, probably for a few weeks, we'll just see. I know I've got a lot of stuff in my head. I haven't put it all down on paper. I mean, I've got some things, some notes and different things. The elders, we've been walking through some of this stuff ourselves and trying to get a grasp on this. But I hope that these three words will just kind of flow from your lips freely, and that you will now know not just those words, but you will know what each one of them means in the context of the mission that God has given to us as a church. Those words make up the foundation of what we are about. And like I say, we got to put a lot of meat on these bones. We got to flesh this out, as it were. But those words are a summary of our mission, our vision, and our purpose as a church. This is a statement I want to make, and it comes from, you know, my years of experience, whatever that's worth, whatever value that is. I've walked with the Lord for 43 years, and what my experience has been is that many, many churches do not do a particularly good job at making disciples. Now, I preached back in, I think it was September, I did a series on the making of a disciple. Discipleship and making of disciples is at the core of what the church is about. We can't say, hey, we're good at other things. You know, that's unacceptable. Because the Great Commission isn't just to go and make converts. Of course, that's part of it. The Great Commission isn't just to get more people to come to church on Sunday. The Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, is to go into all the world and make disciples. That is what we have been called to do. That is what the church is about. And I feel like as central as disciple making is to the mission of the church, the reality of it is, and I feel this applies to us, is that it becomes kind of a hit or miss proposition. And what I mean by that, I know there's desire. I it's not like we don't care about it. There's a desire to do it. We know how important it is. But we, and I'll talk about just us here, you know, at Harvest, we don't always provide, and this is what I've been talking to the elders, we've been talking about and praying about for quite a while, you know, at least over the last year or so. We don't always provide for people a clear path to become, to make that become a reality in each and every person's life. So kind of as I begin this today, The million-dollar question is this, and this is what I wrote down. When someone comes through the doors at Harvest, whether they're a seeker, someone searching to know God or trying to find out about God, or whether they're a new believer or whether they're a more seasoned follower of Christ, how can the church help them become full-grown, mature, fruit-bearing disciples? Full-grown, mature, fruit-bearing followers of Jesus. That is what, that's my working definition of a disciple. And I say full-grown, we're always, maybe that's not the best term, because we're always growing, right? We don't reach a point where we stop. But maturing in our faith and bearing fruit. This is what I think about, you know, this is what goes through my mind. It is not just enough to count heads. Amen? That has become the de facto measurement for churches and for church success. Counting heads. Counting how many people are in the seats on Sunday. And that is so deficient. So I've been praying about this. I've been thinking about it. And like I said, I've already said, the elders, we've talked about this whole subject. And like I said, it's not about a new building, but it just seems like now's the time, you know, like things are kind of, you know, meshing together, and now's the time. Maybe, you know, I certainly could say, you know, it's been time. But it's time to move the ball down the field. Little reference to tonight's game, right? Go Bills, right? All right. Well, I was on retreat a couple of weeks back. This was my main focus of prayer, not the Bills. But how we move the ball, how we do this and provide that clear path for people to become full, mature, fruit-bearing disciples of Christ. And I know whenever, you know, in a situation like this, I'm speaking to a broad spectrum of people, probably some who have walked with the Lord longer than I have. And maybe others who are brand new or relatively new in their faith, or some who are just searching and seeking. But no one is exempt from this. Oh, he must be talking just to new believers. You know, I've been in the Lord for a long time. This doesn't apply to me. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 50 years. Right? God doesn't have a retirement age. You know, I guess there is a retirement, but I wouldn't call it retirement, all right? I'd call it graduation day, right? Where we get to begin a whole new chapter of life with Jesus, with the Trinity, with the Godhead for eternity. So I just beg you, find how this applies to you. Don't settle for being a churchgoer. Find the application to your own life. The beautiful thing about God in this context, and the beautiful thing about the body of Christ, is that while the underlying principles are the same, the way that it looks and the way that it is walked out in individual people's lives is always unique. It's always different in different people's lives. God is not in the business of creating clones. Kind of picture, you know, remember the stormtroopers in Star Wars, you know, these hundreds and thousands all marching in lockstep, you know. That's not the church, right? I mean, just look around you, for goodness sake, right? You see all kinds. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Praise God. God is not in the business of creating clones. My prayer is that everyone who desires to will find their unique expression when it comes to fulfilling this mission. Where's my place on the wall? What does it look like for me in my life? And here's the interesting thing. This isn't just about the church in a big sense. The mission of the church, listen to me, the mission of the church and the mission of individual Christians is essentially the same. You know, this isn't just something that the elders talk about, well, what can we do in the church? This is our lives. This is how every one of us are called to live. Like I say, the expression will always be unique based on who we are and how we're wired and how God has gifted us and the burdens He's put in our hearts. So I think this applies to everyone. These are the things that are at the heart of the Christian experience, every one of us. I've said over the years, I've said these three things, the same words, are the three pillars of the church. The three pillars of the church. For years I've used that phrase, and I've, you know, some of this has been tweaked a little bit, and I'll explain that in a moment. But, you know, just it's more, it's not that the things have changed, it's just kind of the way we're expressing it and trying to communicate it. These three pillars have to be at work in the church. You know, a stool can have three legs, but it can't have two, right? In order to be stable. Different churches will express this differently. They will use different words. But we really don't have an option of removing any one of these. You know, another way I used to say this is every church has to have these three things going, these three things at work. Ministry to God, ministry to one another, and ministry to the world. It all starts with our relationship with Him. And then, you know, we learn how to love and serve and grow together as believers and reach. But ultimately, you know, again, reaching others for the gospel. We don't have an option of removing any of those three things: ministering to God, ministering to one another, and ministering to the world around us. So how did we get here? I don't want to spend a lot of time. You know, we've been here 33 years. But I want to help you understand a little bit how this has developed over the years. Way back, somewhere in the first couple of years when I was pastoring, and this was my first church, and looks like it may be my last after all these years. That's good. I mean, I said, Lord, I'll bury me in Mount Albion Cemetery. I'm here, you know. But way back in the first couple of years, there was a time when gathered the leaders of the church together, and for the very first time, we tried to actually put our mission statement down on paper. And again, you know, I don't know, it was a couple years, two, three, whatever years into this ride that we've been on. And it wasn't like we didn't know what we were doing, you know. Well, I mean, maybe we could argue about that. But it wasn't like we had no idea. Like, why do we do this? I mean, why do we get together? I mean, what is it? You know, we understood, right? But we were just trying to put it down in a way that we could communicate it better and articulate it so others could take hold of it. So again, it wasn't that we didn't have a clue. But over the years, and this is what I found, and this is just true of our Christian life, it's a process, right? We see through a glass darkly. I don't know, you know, at least for me, you know, it's like it doesn't all come at once. You learn, you grow, you get greater insight and understanding. But to be successful at this, the whole church needs to understand it. Not just me, not just the elders. What happens to a lot of mission statements is they end up in the pastor's drawer, his desk drawer. Right? Spend all this time and we pray and we come up with these things. We try, okay, what's our focus? How do we move forward? And then it ends up in the drawer. And I'm guilty as charged, you know, and I'm committing myself, you know, do a better job communicating this. We need to be able to say how everything that we do fits into this in some ways. I know, again, those are just three words. And there's a lot under each one. and different churches say. I looked at many, many different like mission statements and such, and just trying to find, you know, like, oh, how do you know? And they all are saying the same thing, just, you know, in a unique way. So we all need to understand this, and it needs to be communicated. In the not too distant future, when you walk in the lobby, you're going to see these words, you know, and, you know, there's artwork being developed and such like that. I just want people to know. I just want it to be ingrained and etched in your mind, and not just the words, but what they mean, what each one stands for, what's under each one, as it were. If you've been paying attention over the past whatever number of years, maybe saying, you know, this sounds familiar. I know that Pastor Tim has talked about this before, and maybe swimming around in your head is the idea, but it sounds a little different, and it is. There's a slight change. It used to be, we used this for many years, loving, serving, reaching. Now, don't panic. We didn't throw serving overboard, okay? You know, it's not like we don't have to do that anymore. But there's this idea that serving really is more a part of reaching. Serving is more a part of reaching out to others and serving even within the body and such. But before you can really serve, I mean, you can start right away, right? Jesus calls the disciples, says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. It's not like you got to wait forever, right? But we do have to grow. We do have to grow. And so that little tweak of changing it from loving, serving, reaching to loving, growing, reaching was something that came out of my prayer retreat, and I shared it with the elders. But again, this has gone through a process over the years. Let me tell you something funny. I started to say this. I don't think I finished the thought. Way back when we first tried to put something down on paper, Tim, you would probably remember, it was good. I mean, it was really good. But it was a whole page long. It was four paragraphs, right? And I still, if I looked at that today, I'd say, man, this thing's got all kinds of good stuff in it. But it was something nobody could internalize, right? I'd have to pay you. So you get a year's worth of Mark's pizzas if you'll memorize this, right? Yeah. It's just, it's a whole page. And, you know, again, I didn't know any, we didn't know any better. We're just trying to kind of figure this out. And so we ended up with this complicated, wordy thing, but it contained the three pillars. You know, again, that, you know, the loving, growing, reaching, or loving, serving, reaching, and such. And, you know, the thing is, the fewer words, right, Tim Archer? The fewer words, you know, boy, I put myself on the spot up here, right? And Sharon's shaking her head, yes. The fewer words that you can use to get your point across, the more impactful you will be. I'm going to stop there. No, I will say this. I read this week. At the dedication of the National Cemetery at Gettysburg. 72. On November 19th, 1863, was the dedication of the National Cemetery at Gettysburg. A man stood up by the name of Edward Elliott, and he spoke for 2 hours, and his speech contained 13,000 words. After him, President Lincoln stood up. He spoke for 2 minutes, 272 words. And immediately, it was like there's something special about this address, those 272 words, and they have lived on, right? And nobody, and I, nothing negative about Edward Elliott, right? I'll tell you, he was a wonderful man, and nothing against him. I'm sure he said some wonderful things. And I'll tell you what, I don't even remember, I don't even know who he was. I mean, what his... Wow, just a professional orator. So anyways, you know, he spends 2 hours, 13,000 words. Lincoln gets up 2 minutes, 272 words. Afterwards, and this, I commend this man, Edward Elliott. He must have been a very humble man. Because he wrote to President Lincoln and he said this, I wish that I could flatter myself that I had come as near to the central idea of the occasion in 2 hours as you did in 2 minutes. So the old adage, less is more, really does apply in many cases. Like I said, the good news is our mission statement has always contained those three fundamental things, even though we've tweaked the words as we've gone along a little bit. And I can say with great conviction, you know, that it's always been at the heart of what we are. We haven't always done a good job articulating it. We haven't always done a good job doing it. But the more we understand it and the more we just rehearse it and go over it and understand how do we flesh this out? What is this? How do we live this out? I think the closer we're going to get to actually doing it. So, doing it better. So we're thinking, okay, here we got this full page, four paragraphs. Man, it's just awesome. But nobody could, it's just too cumbersome. Nobody can, it's like trying to put Saul's armor on. You know, it's like, oh, I can't fight with this. So we made a major accomplishment and we lowered it down. This is kind of going back in time. We went from a full page down to 8 words. Loving God, serving the church, and reaching the lost. And that's really, really good. But not only do we love God, we're also called to love each other, right? Not only do we serve the church, we're called to serve God and serve the world, right? So that's then when we went to, again, to loving, serving, reaching, and we've kind of used that over the years. You know, last week, Rick opened the service, and he talked about the cross. And he talked about the fact that the upright, off the technical term, but the vertical, you know, beam represents our relationship with God. And the horizontal, the cross beam represents, you know, it's this great imagery, you know, that the horizontal relationships that we have with one another. So we start this journey as a Christian by receiving God's love for us and giving our love back to Him. We don't certainly do it the way that He does it. But that's the vertical relationship between us and God, and it's all based around love. God's unconditional love for us, and then us trying to reciprocate that love to Him. You know, what's this Bible say in Romans? It says, or excuse me, 1 John, I'm sorry. It says, we love Him because He first loved us. That's the starting point of it all. And from that starting point, we begin to grow in our relationship with God and serve Him. Because growing and serving, like I say, they're all, I mean, you could kind of move them around and all that. I get that, you know, different ways to look at it, but we're trying to find something that really speaks to the heart of what we're about. From that starting point, we grow in our relationship with God. We serve Him. We grow in our relationship with one another. We serve one another. We serve outside. You know, we're just called. That's what we're called to do. And that, like I say, should translate into reaching others for the gospel. When you experience God's love and you begin to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that's going to automatically translate. If you are growing in your faith, you're going to serve. If you're growing in your faith and you're going to see more and more what God expects from you, you're going to be reaching others for Christ. And that's why, again, why we switched that word. And again, it was just something I got in prayer and I thought, well, you know, I'll talk to the elders about it and such like. And that's why we replaced the word serving with the word growing. Like I said, we didn't throw serving out the window. We are called to serve. We are called to serve. But loving is when we first experience God's love and we fall in love with Him and we return that love back to Him. And like I said, we don't do it like He does it, but we do our best. But once that happens, we enter into relationship with Him. The next step is on this path is to grow in our faith. The Bible says, but grow in grace, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like I said a moment ago, if we're growing, serving will be just a natural outgrowth of that. It's hard, you know, the way we used to have it up, you know, loving, serving, reaching, it's like, you know, that, and that's good. It's wonderful. But it's hard to go from there, from loving, you know, just in, being introduced to Christ. Okay, what do I do now? How do I do this? Well, we've got to grow. We've got to grow. We've got to grow in our faith. So, loving, growing, reaching. I'm going to go into this in more detail. But let me just, I'll close with this. We're doing really good. I'm kind of doing a, not quite an Abraham Lincoln, but... yeah. What did Rodney Dangerfield always say, right? I don't get any respect. So here's the basics. It all starts with love. God's love for us, our love for Him, and our love for one another. Right? What does the Bible say? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Some of you probably heard this. I've never taken the time to count, but somebody did. There's 613 laws in the Old Covenant. And when Jesus addressed the question that was posed to him, he said it all sums up in those two things. The greatest commandment, that is what that's called. Our love for God flows from His initiative that He took in loving us first. That's the basis for everything. We love Him because He first loved us. Again, I just want to remind you of that. But then growing, as I said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know I've gone over, I'm just kind of wrapping these things up here as we close. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. And then reaching. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So we minister to God, we minister to one another, and we minister to those who do not know Jesus. And it all is encapsulated in those three words. And again, there's a lot, so much more, you know, I want to say about it in the weeks to come. But I want that just to be something that again, not just, and I was even saying to the elders, it's not enough, you know, to take 3-4 weeks or whatever, you know, and preach about this, because then, you know, life just goes on and it kind of goes back in, quote unquote, in the desk drawer again. It's got to be, Tim, I think, passed out a brochure that we just developed, a welcome brochure for the church. And it's not printed yet, but the ones that he gave the folks in the class this morning, you know, are just proofs that we had. But they're very nice, and Sharon printed them out and got them ready for the class for today. But we'll send them out to a printer and get them done professionally. But if you open it up, it's a trifold thing. It says, our mission is captured in these three words, loving, growing, and reaching, and explains what each one of those is in a nutshell, so to speak. And I just want that to be the yardstick that we use to measure everything that we do. It's not enough to be in a beautiful building. It's not enough to be busy. Amen? Right? We got to be fulfilling the mission that God has called us to do. Loving Him, loving others, growing in our faith, serving one another. At one point I thought, maybe I could just add a fourth word. Loving, growing, serving, and reaching. And I thought, every word that I add to that, that we add to that, the people's ability to retain that will go down about 50%, right? The more words, and that's why that full page thing was wonderful. You know, it's a nice art museum piece, but you know, it's not practical. It's good to know some of those things. That's all good. But that, may that be the yardstick to measure everything that we do. I'll just ask you to stand. Have you accepted God's invitation? You know, of love, what He did for you and all that He did on the cross for us. Because that's where it all starts. And, you know, it's so basic, but it's just so true. May it never get old. May it never become something that's just, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. It's mundane, whatever. Oh, my gosh. You know, think about Al Woodall. Think about what your life would be like without Jesus, right? I just say it because, you know, we've had that conversation. We could all say that. But if you've never received His love, or if you feel like somehow there's a distance, you know, between you, I just encourage you, come back to Him. You know, just renew, recommit your life to Him, or yield and surrender your life to Him. So, Father, I pray God. Everything started with you. That's the beautiful thing about the Christian faith. It is not our efforts, as I've said so many times, it's not our efforts to climb up a ladder to reach God. It was you reaching down. It's the only faith, it's the only quote-unquote religion in the world where you took the initiative, you reached down, you came to your people. You know, religion to me is defined by man's attempts to try to reach God. Do all these things and do, you know, follow all these rules and do these sacrifices and give, do this and that. And that's just that religious spirit. All the things that we can do to be right with God. And you said none of that. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, you said, oh God. But you reached down through your Son Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, and you made a way. You made a way. And you are, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So I thank you, God. I pray that if anyone here doesn't know that, or anyone listening doesn't know that, that they would say yes to you and receive you as their Lord and Savior and begin this wonderful journey of experiencing the love of God and growing in what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and serving the Lord. There is no greater joy in this life than knowing that you're investing your life in something that is of eternal consequence, something that could literally change someone's life for eternity. It's worth everything. Reaching others for your gospel, for your glory. Telling others about what you have done and demonstrating to others through our actions what you have done through Jesus. So we thank you for it. And I pray that you draw every heart to you. If there's someone here today that needs to say yes, maybe for the very first time, don't put it off. The Bible says in Hebrews, today is the day of salvation. Avail yourself of this wonderful gift of God. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You're dismissed.